We've been studying in the past 2 months our Experiencing God class, and our Sunday services have kind of coincided with where we are in that class. And this week, for those of us that are participating, we are studying the seventh and final reality that's presented in that class, and that is that you come to know God by experience as you obey Him, and He accomplishes His work through you. That's what we've been studying, and in light of that topic, this morning I am going to look at this topic, love and obedience. God's commandments that He commands are to be obeyed. They are called commandments. They are not called suggestions. Throughout the scriptures, God told His people to obey His commands. Here on the slide is Deuteronomy 27:10, common phraseology you see throughout the law of Moses. You shall therefore, what? Obey Yahweh your God and do His commandments and His statutes which I command you today. But God just didn't tell us to obey. There is a blessing with that. As He said in Deuteronomy 28, again in the slides, it says, now it shall be, if you diligently, what? Obey the Lord your God, Yahweh your God, being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today, Yahweh your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you, what? Obey Yahweh your God. So obedience is very important part of Christianity, to obey the commandments of God. I ask you to turn to Jeremiah 7, and in verse 23 here in Jeremiah 7, 23 says, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. If you want it to be well, if your life is to be blessed, we are to be obedient to those things that God has said. We are to be obedient to the commandments of God. However, God also spoke, if you are disobedient, if you choose not to obey the scriptures, He said in Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come about, if you do not obey Yahweh your God to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So, do you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? That was the choice that was put before God's people. There's a record in 1 Samuel of the man who was the first king of Israel, King Saul. And the prophet Samuel came to King Saul, and he gave him the word of Yahweh. He gave him the commandment of Yahweh. And he asked him to go and destroy Amalek. And he said, destroy everything with Amalek. Every person is to be killed. And all the animals, all the donkeys, all the ox, all the sheep, everything with Amalek is to be destroyed. And Saul went out and had a very successful mission, and they killed all the people, but they kept the king, Agag, they didn't kill him, and they saved the best of the sheep and the oxen. And then Samuel came back, and he says to Saul, why didn't you obey the word of Yahweh? And Saul says, I did. I killed Amalek. And look at it, I got the best of the sheep and the ox. And I got the king. Now you read this record, and then you go on further into the kings. And I kind of look at myself like, geez, I wonder if I would have done what Saul did. You know, I think to myself, especially some of the evil that some of the kings that followed did, it seems like Saul's was like, you know, really wasn't that bad. But it was bad in God's eyes because he wasn't obedient. And he said, no, we did. And Samuel kept saying, no, you did not obey. He said, yeah, but the people people wanted it. You know, and we saved the best. These were the best so that we could sacrifice to God. And then look at this response that Samuel gave Saul for disobedience. Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in what? Obeying the voice of Yahweh. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. For, look at this, rebellion, disobedience, is as the sin of divination." The King James says witchcraft. "And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." Whoa! After saying this, Saul finally repented of his sin. He compares in this verse disobedience with the sin of witchcraft, idolatry, and iniquity. Whoa. That really puts an importance in my mind to obedience. Being subordinate to another, to being told to obey. You know, it's not vogue. It's not always looked upon fondly in our society to be obedient to authority. And you know, have you ever noticed human beings are prone to rebellion, of authority, of rules, of regulations, of ordinances? I ride the bus every day. And at every bus stop, the ones where they have the booths here in the Albany area, every one of them has a big sign. "This is a non-smoking area." And they have that red thing with a no smoking sign. Do you know how many times I walk into those bus things waiting for the bus and there's someone right under the sign? It's like, are you like, it's like, I just sit there and go, I don't care, but it's like, read the sign. I always thought a sure way if you want someone to walk on your grass is put a sign that says, "Don't walk on the grass," right? Or you ever deal with children? You ever deal with a little child? They just have this disobedience. It's built into mankind. And you say, "Don't touch that." And the kid goes, "Don't touch that." And as a parent, you're like, "Oh, please don't touch that." Because you know if they touch it, then you got to discipline them. Right? Because they're just prone to, "I'm going to touch it. Don't touch it." It's kind of built into people. And it was built into the children of Israel. They disobeyed so many times that by the time you get to Jeremiah, here in Jeremiah 7, in your book, in the Bible, in verse 24, it says, "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their own evil heart and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent you all my servants and prophets, daily rising early and sending them. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, and they did more evil than their fathers." In the book of Hebrews, there's a section that refers back to where the children were disobedient during the 40 years in the wilderness. And this is in the King James Version. I like the way this is worded. In Hebrews 3:12, it says, "Take heed, brethren," and that would be to us, "take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Oh, those are heavy words. It says that unbelief is an evil heart. And that's what Jeremiah said. They had evil hearts. Their heart was evil, prone to disobedience and to not follow. So, I don't think any of us, really, as Christians, desire to be disobedient. I don't think any of us say, I'm going to be disobedient to God today. I've never met anybody that wants to be disobedient to the commandments. Disobedience stems from that nature within, that evil heart of unbelief. And it is as a sin of witchcraft, idolatry, and iniquity. Ooh. As we say, yuck. I don't want an evil heart of unbelief in my life. And yet, we often find ourselves in a place of being disobedient. So what do we do? What's the problem here? You know, in Scripture, when God gave a commandment, and you can read out through the Bible, when he gave his word to his people, or the word that we have to us today, God never forced people to obey. They had the free will choice. God didn't make us robots. You know, I really believe that is why in the garden, Adam and Eve had a choice. They had a choice for good or evil. Matter of fact, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had a choice, because without choice, what are we? You know, I work with computers, and when you work with a computer program that's written right? And you tell it to do this when you hit this button, you know what? It does it. It doesn't have a choice. It is a robot. It's mechanical. It, you know, and often people say, "Oh, my stupid computer!" And I'm like, "Yeah, well, it's sometimes at work, people say this did." I said, "Well, you know what? It did exactly what you told it to do." A lot of times, it's human error we've discovered through our years with computers, because computers are robotic. Humans aren't. We're not. One of the great things that God has given us is free will. Free will to choose. I can choose God. I can choose Jesus over the other options I have in my life. Praise God. I have a choice. Mankind always has had free will to choose. And obedience to God's command was never to be burdensome to people. But rather the motivation for obedience is love. It is always intended to be a response of love for our God. Do you know the first and great commandment is not to obey? The first and great commandment that Jesus was asked, and he quoted the Shema, and he said to him, "You shall what? Love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." This is the first and great commandment, to love. Look at John chapter 14. The greatest way you could show your love for your God or your love for your Lord and Savior is not religious activity. It's not offering sacrifices. It's obedience. Obey what is commanded. In John 14, Jesus said these same things. John 14, 15. He said, "If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments." Verse 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I believe the NIV, where it says keep, I think the NIV says obey. I think keep maybe sounds a little gentler than obey my words. But it's the same understanding. We are to be obedient to the words of Jesus. You know, the context, in the context of these verses about loving Jesus and keeping his commandments is the giving of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you. That is the Spirit of truth. And in verse 25, he said, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Through the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, that is made available to all humanity after he accomplished what he did on the cross, through the Holy Spirit, God can reveal to you his purposes and his ways. The reason God would do that is so that you would obey. What's the point of telling you if you're not going to do anything with it, right? And then in the context of this, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I want to challenge you with something. This Bible, if you haven't, you can write these verses in your notes, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This that you held in your laps that we have right now is God speaking to you. It came by way of Holy Spirit. I don't need additional revelation to have information for life to which I can be and choose to be obedient. For example, the scriptures say, be instant in prayer. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Give us this day our daily bread. So therefore, I think I'm supposed to pray often. I think I'm supposed to pray daily. Do I? Am I obedient to what I know the scriptures say? Reverend Finnegan, I don't know if it was last week or a few weeks ago, shared about tithing. He talked about tithing. What a crazy thing. If I give a tenth of my money back, that God will bless me. That's what Malachi says. He says, bring the tithes in my storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Proverbs 3 says, honor Yahweh with the first fruits of all your substance. That's tithing. Whether you count 10% or whatever, the first thing that you and I are supposed to do is honor God with what he has blessed us with. You're supposed to give something back to him. So then you ask yourself the question, do I do it? Am I obedient to what I know the scripture says? You know, it doesn't make sense. It is not humanly, you can't explain tithing. You can't get out in a scientific calculator and figure out if I subtract 10% from 100, that I will be richer for it. If I give away something, that somehow I will be more blessed. It makes no sense. It's a principle. It is something God said. Try it. See if it works. Remember, Finnegan also was talking about speaking in tongues a few weeks ago. That's why I speak in tongues. You know why? Because Paul said in Corinthians, I would that you all spake in tongues. And I read that and said, huh, I guess I'm supposed to speak in tongues. You know what? If I try to figure that out in my brain, I can't do that. I can't do it. And the day of Pentecost, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. They just started speaking. I said, well, I can do that. And I spoke in tongues. I was obedient to what God says I can do. Speaking the gospel. How many times are we told and encouraged to speak the gospel? We're ambassadors for Christ. And yet, how many times have you gone up to speak to somebody, or something's nudging you, says you ought to speak to that person, and you say, I feel a little embarrassed. What if they reject me? What if they make fun of me? I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want to cause any issues. You know what? You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about you. When I first, I used to have a real difficulty with speaking to people until I got this straight. Jesus commanded me. So I decided, when I get that little nudge, I decide, am I going to do what Jesus wants, or am I going to go by my feelings? That's part of the, this is where the pedal hits the metal. Right here. Are you obedient to what God says? The way you show love for another is not through vain words or self-centeredness, but rather it is through loving actions of submission and obedience. Actions speak louder than words. Have you ever heard people say, don't tell me that you love me, show me. Show me. Show God. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. First John chapter 5. Love this. The way we express our love for God, the way we express our love for our Lord Jesus Christ is through loving obedience. It's through loving obedience. 1 John 5, verse 2. It says, By this we know, we love the children of God when we what? Love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God. What's the love of God? This is it! This is the love of God. That we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. That's not a bummer. You're going to be blessed. That's loving God. Keeping His commandments. Here's the NIV version of 1 John 2, 3 through 6. It's up here on the screen. We know, now one thing too I want to point out here, I haven't studied this in years, but I'm pretty certain I'm right here. Because I remember many, many years ago I looked at these Greek words for the word know. And then there's two major Greek words for know. One is oida. Oida means to perceive, to mentally like, oh, I know it, I heard it. It comes in the ear here and you hear it. The other word know is the Greek word gnosko, which means to know by experience. In other words, I can read a manual on how to build something. But I really don't know how to build something until I start, right? Until I start acting and doing. And that's this word, know. It's gnosko. We know by experience. that we have come to know him if we what? Obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a what? Ooh. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone what? Obeys his word, God's love, look at this, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know, by experience, that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Turn to Matthew 7. I don't think I put this in your notes, but I'd like to go to Matthew 7. For those of you taking the Experience God class, this right here is everything. This is it. Experience by knowing. Experience by doing. Experience by obeying what God tells you. Hello! Then you experience God. And God becomes real to you. It's not just sitting here on a Sunday service. It's not a religious activity. It's a real, true relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth and with his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's real. And you get that by obedience, by doing what he says. Look at Matthew 7. Boy, when I first saw these verses, I was just like, whoo, that's deep. Matthew 7. Jesus said in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know where you are with your Christian faith. The way your journey begins in Christianity, Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Your confession of belief begins with confessing Jesus as your Lord. But you know what? Anybody could say, Jesus is Lord. Anyone could say, I'm a Christian. I got a bumper sticker. It says so. Yeah, I got a bumper sticker. I put it in my office. I have a thing. I'm a Christian. I may not be perfect, but I'm forgiven. You know, I got the stickers. I got the lingo down. I can say it. And Jesus says, no, no, no. You can say, Lord, Lord. But that ain't going to get it. Look what it is. But he who what? Does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Then look what he says. Many will say to me on that day when he returns, right? Lord, Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name did many miracles? Jesus, look what I did in your name. And then I will declare to him, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Ho! So it's not just trying to do signs, miracles, and wonders. It's relationship. It's actually doing what he commands. Not just putting on a superficial facade and showing up at church, but to do what he says. That's Christianity. That's experiencing God 101. Obedience. Obedience to what he has commanded. So, I ask you a question. Do you find it sometimes difficult to obey, to be obedient? Do you sometimes feel as though your Christian walk is draining, difficult, or burdensome? If so, I would submit to you that your issue is not an obedience problem. Your issue is a love problem. It's love. Love is everything. As it says in John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. That's why I love. That's why I want to be obedient. And for the remainder of my time, I'd like to look at Psalm 119. And not all of it, I just want to read some of this to you. Psalm 119. See, and as you read the scripture, I think all of us deal with an evil heart. All of us deal with a heart that does want, that craves for rebellion. So how can I get my heart to be in love with my God? How can I get my heart to love this word of God? To love the commandments that I so want to do them because I'm in love. Because I love my God. And I think the psalmist who wrote 119, Psalm 119, has in it the heart desire that all of us should have, that want to be obedient to do His will. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. In Hebrew, it is referred to as Ashrei Tamimi Darak, which means happy are those whose way is perfect. It's the first verse. And that's the way it is in the Hebrew. Ashrei Tamimi Darak. It's an acrostic psalm. Every eight verses in this psalm started with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and this is divided up eight stanzas for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which if 8 times 22 is 176, and that's how you get the 176 verses. Now, if you look in your Bible, you see that first word before verse 1, it says Aleph. You see that? And between 8 and 9, you see the word Bet. You see that? That's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And you got Gemel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Het. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in the original Hebrew, you don't see it in the English, those first eight verses would have started with the letter Aleph. The second eight verses, the second stanza of eight, verses 9 through 16, would have started with the letter Bet. And it goes like that. And so it's a beautiful psalm that is laid out like this, and every verse cries to the heart of a person's relationship with the commandments of God. So I challenge you this week. There's 22 of these. Take three stanzas, 16 verses. There's 24 verses a day this week. Tomorrow I'll read verses 1 through 24. Then read and go through the whole psalm this week. And don't just read it. I mean, read it. Psalm 119:1. It says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. Don't you want that? Lord, I want to seek You with all my heart. I don't want to just be part way today. I want all of me to be all of You. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Verse 5. Look at this prayer. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Your commandments. You can pray that. How would you like to pray that? Every day. Oh, Lord, let my ways be established to keep Your statutes today. That's what I want today. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon Your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with the upright of heart when I learn of your righteousness. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Bet. Verse 9. How can a pure man keep his way pure? You ever ask that self the question? How do I stay pure? How do I stay right? I don't want to wander. How do I stay pure? By keeping according to your word. Verse 10. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Why not pray that? In the morning, pray, God, I don't want to wander from you today. I don't want to wander. Lord, let me keep your commandments today. Verse 11, your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. I treasured your word in my heart that I do not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. There is nothing. Well, let me go to the next verse. This continues on. With my lips I have told you all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. He said, I rejoice in your word more than all riches. You know, this week, I was doing some financial stuff, and I found an extra $60 I didn't know I had. Yes! I found that. It was like, whoo, look at that. I got $60 more. I rejoiced. But you know what? There is nothing quite like meditating upon the Scripture. Taking the time to meditate on these things. And then God, through the Holy Spirit in your life, reveals to your mind the Scripture. That, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the most awesome things in your life. When God reveals His Word to your mind, and you know that you know that you know that God is real and His Word is real and He spoke to you. That is experiencing God. That is as good as it gets. This week, I had a lot of things in my mind and I really felt like I was not ready to teach today. I felt like I really hadn't put the time into it that I really usually do before I teach. And I prayed to God and I asked Him for forgiveness because I felt I really have not put the time I need to teach your Scriptures. Guide me. Show me what to teach. And He did. Man, He did. Do you know what that does? Do you know what that does for me? And I say, oh God, I love you. I love you that you would allow a sinner like me to commune with me and to forgive me when I fall and pick me back up and reveal your word to my mind. It is the most awesome thing in your life. And when that kind of love and what is written here in this psalmist's heart penetrates your life, it is really easy to obey at that point. Because you are in love with your God. And you are in love with your Lord and Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the key to obedience. And that's the key to experiencing God in your life. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy, God, that you would be so gracious to us to allow us to be alive, to allow us to live, to allow us to know your word. God, I ask that each and every one of us could come to know you better, that we can be obedient to your word, and that we can know that we know that we know that we love you as we keep your commandments. And that as we do, Father, our relationship with you can grow stronger and stronger every day. I pray for each of us this week that we can put our lives and our hearts to seek you diligently with all that we are. God, that we can truly love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. I praise you, God, and thank you this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.